Can you hear me? Yes? Yeah, cool. As you can clearly see, I can't dance. I'll just start off with apologizing for putting you through that. So good morning. I'm Josh McCann. Hopefully by now, some of you hopefully know me at least a little bit, but just in case you don't, as you can tell, I'm clearly not from around here. I have a little bit of a different accent. I'm here from America, specifically from Texas, and I'm an intern here with Missional Links Wales. And to tell you a little bit about them, Missional Links Wales is an organization that partners American churches with Welsh churches here for support from missionaries, pastors in the States. We do one-week missions here, so the American churches send mission teams over, and we do whatever we can to help you guys out for a week. And they also send interns over for 11 months, which that's what I've been here doing. I've only got 3 months left, which is really sad. But one of the things that I do here is I work with the youth a lot. That's probably what I do mostly here. I pop into worship practice every once in a while, but it's mainly youth every Friday. So I'm really proud of these youth. I'm really grateful for what they've done. And can we just give a round of applause for the youth for all they've done this morning? And a round of applause for our fearless leader, Paola. Now, this morning, I want to continue the theme that Simon started last week. So today we'll be looking at the book of Acts again. Acts chapter 4, to be exact. You will need your Bibles. We're going to be going back to this passage a lot today. So if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 4 is where we'll be. So this morning, I want to ask you, are you as bold in your faith as you want to be? Oh, great. They do have the Star Trek up there. Great. If someone asked you about your religion this morning, would you be willing to talk about it? What if we lived in such a way that Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, was a reality in our lives, and we were truly unashamed of the gospel? As we go through this passage this morning, I'm going to be specifically highlighting the boldness that the apostles had and the reasons I believe they're able to have such boldness. But firstly, before we start reading this passage, I want to give a quick summary of what's happened up to this point in the book of Acts. We start off with Jesus's ascension to heaven. After he had died, risen again, he had come to his disciples and appeared to loads of people, and then he went up back to heaven. He came and he stated to the disciples that they would be his witnesses to all of the world. And in chapter 1, Matthias is chosen to replace Judas as one of the 12. Then in chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost when Holy Spirit comes, and all of those around were witnessed to because of the amazing gift of tongues. And whenever the people, they were all gathered for the Pentecost, they all heard their own language, and they were going, oh, wow, that's amazing. So they all came. And 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus that one day, which is incredible. The community of believers in Jerusalem devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They shared meals together, prayed together, and worshiped together. And there was not one person among them that was lacking anything, because all was shared between them. And this created an environment that was joyful, filled with praise, and exuded the gospel. And because of this, each day more people came to know Jesus as a result of the community that they had made. This is the type of community and unity that an encounter with the living God creates. Then in chapter 3, we assume a little bit of time has gone on, and it's now a later day, and Peter and John, two of the apostles, are going to the temple for afternoon worship or prayer service, and they see a man who is lame, and normally they would have given him money, but at this time they don't have money. The man's can't walk or can't do something, and he's begging at the temple entrance, and he's always been there, and he's doing this. So instead of giving them money, they said, well, we can do this for you. Get up and walk in Jesus' name. And the man was healed right there, just like that, in front of the temple gates, which is incredible. And so people who were passing by noticed, oh, there's so-and-so, the guy that's always at the gate begging, and he's walking, and he's praising the Lord. What happened? So they go over there and try to figure out what's happened, and they see the man, he's still clinging on to Peter and John, thanking them for what has happened. And Peter goes, you know what? I can turn this into an opportunity to preach and more people will believe in Jesus. So Peter boldly stands up and starts to preach. And that's where we're going to pick up in chapter 4, is he's sitting there preaching the gospel. We'll start in verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. We'll stop here at verse 4. I want to briefly talk about what is going on and why Peter and John have just been arrested for preaching the gospel outside of the temple of God. You would think that would be something they'd be praised for, wouldn't you, nowadays? But in the people that were there at the temple that day were a group of people called the Sadducees. And they believed that there was no resurrection from the dead. They believed that there were no such thing as spirits. And they were very knowledgeable in the law. And they believed that it was to be followed to a point. And what Peter was doing is he's going, there is resurrection from the dead. Jesus raised from the dead. He's saying, there is a Holy Spirit. He came and he lives in us now. And they're also saying the law no longer applies because of grace. And so he's saying the opposite of what these Sadducees have been teaching for years and years. And so they said, well, this is wrong. This is heresy. We've got to arrest this guy. We need to figure out what's going on. Now, knowing this, it's easy to understand why they might be upset about Peter being right outside their temple, preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. However, out of Peter's boldness and willingness to do this, even in the face of possible persecution, the number of believers you see again increases from 3,000 to 5,000, because the temple was a crowded area. It's afternoon prayer service. People are there. So those that heard believed, which was really incredible. So we're going to continue in verse 5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now let's stop here again for a moment. How bold of a statement is that? They've already been arrested for saying just what he said. And in the face of this council of religious leaders and these Sadducees who are very against this, they go, well, this is what happened. Sorry. This is the story. Jesus is alive. And this is in Jesus' name we did this. And wow. How bold is that to be? They could have been thrown in prison for that just because these people have the power to just go, well, yep, let's throw them in a hole, leave them there. But he had the boldness to go step out and do that. And I believe the reason that Peter had this boldness was because he was full of the Holy Spirit. And it was working through him, giving him the words to say and the confidence to say them. With that being said, I want to start on my first point for today, on where this applies to us. I think the key to seeing this confidence and boldness today comes from this. The first thing that we need to be bold for Christ is the Holy Spirit, or holy adrenaline, as we like to call it in youth. I think that holy adrenaline is really an accurate description of how Holy Spirit interacts with us in this type of situation. He can be the holy adrenaline that gives us the confidence to say what we need to say. The Holy Spirit is amazing. He's always there for us. We don't have to worry about, oh, well, this question came up, and oh, what if he's not? He's always there. That's the beautiful thing about him. He lives inside of us now because we're believers in Jesus. So whenever we're in this type of situation, he can bring words to say. He can bring Bible verses. He can give us the confidence or boldness to say what we need to say. But we do have to trust that he's there and actually take a step of faith and put ourselves into these situations, which is difficult, isn't it, to put ourselves in a situation where we have to explain our faith or preach the good news. It's a difficult thing, but whenever we realize that Holy Spirit's always there with us, he's the comforter, he's the guide, and he gives us the words, then it becomes a lot easier. It's great. But there's one more component that I think really helped Peter and John in this situation, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. I want to continue on with probably one of my favorite verses in the book of Acts, because it really resonates with me. And this is verse 13. This is the Sadducees. They look at Peter and John, and they perceive that they're uneducated, common men, and they're astonished, and they recognize that they had been with Jesus. They saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that he had been with Jesus. I want to stop quickly. I said that twice on a reason, because I think it's key to realize that these were just common men. These people weren't completely, they weren't trained in the rabbinical ways. They probably flunked out of whatever Jewish schools were. That's why they went into their family business of being fishermen. They just simply followed Jesus whenever he called them. In fact, they even made mistakes along the way. Peter denied Jesus three times, and he was also even at one point rebuked with the harsh words, "Get behind me, Satan." I'd say these guys are the most normal people that Jesus could have picked to do these things. And at the same time, whenever you have Jesus and you have Holy Spirit involved, these people turn into extraordinary people. And that's great news for us today, because it tells us that to be effective in ministry, evangelism, or anything that we want to pursue in the kingdom of God, all we have to do is pursue Jesus and follow him. And everything else comes naturally after that. Out of our love for Jesus and his love for us, everything else flows. So let's continue looking at this encounter. I really wanted to highlight that because it really stuck out to me and really hit me. So we'll continue in verse 14. So this is the Sadducees. They've looked at Peter and John and they've gone, well, these guys are really normal. What's going on? We know he's been with Jesus, but that's about all we know. So they look at them and they say, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. And when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more of this to anyone. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot do anything but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had finished, the Sadducees and the religious leaders further threatened them, and then they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So we're going to stop there again and kind of dissect this. After Peter had finished his first reply to the Sadducees, they were speechless. They couldn't say anything to discredit him because they had watched the miracle happen. They had seen the power of God work in their city. And they can't deny that God's moving. It's obvious. It's obvious that God is moving in this new way. It's not the old way that they had been used to. It's new. It's the new covenant. It's Jesus. It's love. It's grace. And they just can't wrap their heads around that. Their hearts are hardened to the gospel. And so, because their hearts are hard, they decide, well, we can't do anything about what is already done, but we can stop this from spreading. So they go, don't say anything anymore. Just be quiet about Jesus. We don't need to hear about him. that'll be it. And so they do that. And Peter and John go, nope. We can't stop singing. I'm sure they were singing. We can't stop preaching about Jesus because this is all we know now. This is what our life is. Whenever they've realized who their king is. They've realized who loves them. They've realized where they get their satisfaction from. They realize they don't have to please these religious leaders. They're already pleasing to God. So in that, we see the second part to being bold for Christ that's applicable to us. I would say this is the hardest part for me to do. And it's because it requires that you be constantly reminding yourself of this one thing. We need to remember that when we said yes to Jesus and decided to follow him, we became co-heirs with Christ. We're now part of God's family. Along with that comes benefits. We're now adopted sons and daughters. Something really interesting about adoption back in that day is once you adopted a child, you couldn't write them out of your will. They were yours forever. They could do whatever terrible thing to you, and you can't write them out of your family. You can write your biologically born children out as many times as you want. But if you adopt someone, you're stuck with them. And so I think that's really amazing that God chooses the words adoption a lot of the times in the Gospels. And we lose a little bit of that emphasis because of the culture that we're in today. But in the culture that they were in back then, the word adoption meant something so much more. It meant you're stuck with these people. God's chosen to be stuck with us. He can't write us away. So how incredible is that? A few great things about being a child of God is that we don't have to look for love from this world. God gives us his love truly unconditionally, and it will never fail. We don't need acceptance from this world. He's already accepted us into his family. It's a hard thing to remember, and it's a hard thing to really not want acceptance from the world. I understand. I want to be liked. I want people to like me. I don't want to be known as that crazy Christian guy. But then other days I'm like, you know what? I think that's the best thing that I could be known as. That overtly Christian guy that just talks about Jesus all the time and is really on fire. He's, yeah, this is great. Oh, have you heard about Jesus? And they go, oh gosh, not this guy again. I think that's, if I was known for that one day, I think I'd probably have reached my life goal. And I think that we just need to remember that we don't live for the world anymore. Whenever we become a follower of Jesus, we live for the Father. And he's already given us everything we need. Of course, we still need to have jobs. We need to do things. But he has given us all that we need. He's given us all the love and affections and things that we need to be satisfied. When we come to a full realization that we can find all we need in Christ, we can stop living to please the world and live to please God, the only one who truly deserves our worship, affections, and our lives. Now we'll continue on in verse 23, and this is going to be the last section that I'm going to look at for today. And then we'll be done. So, starting in verse 23, when Peter and John were released, they went and found their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices to God together and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word with boldness. Now we see Peter and John go back to their friends. After this incredible encounter at the temple, they've been threatened many times, they've been arrested, they've been held overnight, and they come back to their friends, and the response is incredible. They don't go, well, we need to stop now, let's shut up shop. They go, let's pray for more boldness, because we don't have enough of that. It's not like we just went face to face with these people who could throw us in prison and defied them at every turn we could. No, we need to be more bold than that. What? That's ridiculous to me. Being me, I'd go, okay, maybe we need to tone it down a little bit. I don't really want to be arrested again. That doesn't sound like fun. These guys seem pretty serious. They seem like they might want to hurt me if I keep on doing this. No, these guys go, yeah, we need to pray for more boldness. That's what we need to do. All right. They realize who they're living for. That's why they do this. That's why they have this response. They realize that they don't have to satisfy these people in the world. They realize that they can live for the King. They realize that everything that's of value is kingdom. They realize that on this earth they can face persecution. They can be unliked. There's people that aren't going to like you because whenever you start talking about Jesus, just by the simple fact they're not going to like you. But there's people that don't like you just for being you either. So I'd rather not be liked for knowing Jesus and being talked about him or talking about him than I would just for being me. Because at least whenever I'm talking about Jesus, there's a potential for souls to be saved. Let me figure out where I'm at. I lost my place. So in conclusion, let's take a moment to review the two things I believe we need to be bold with the sharing of our faith. The first is the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be a people marked by the presence of God and filled with His Spirit. So, to continue after what Simon did last week, I'd really like to offer a time for you to be prayed for, if you want, at the end of the service, that you would receive the filling of the Holy Spirit if you want that. In addition to that, I also want to offer that we pray for you to be bold in your week and throughout your life, that you have a new boldness and can go out and be that crazy Jesus freak. Then the second thing that we need to live bold lives for Jesus is that we need to remember who we live for as believers. Whose approval do we crave and what drives us? It's easy to live unashamed whenever we realize that God gives us His approval, His love, and His care. Because when we realize that God gives us those things freely, it's life-changing. And when we come to a full realization that we can find all we need in Christ, we can stop living to please the world and live to please God, the only one who truly deserves our worship and everything else we have to give. So I'd like to close now. I think Jay, come up. Will we have a ministry team? Yep. Cool. Yeah. We'll do worship now. That's all I have to say. Thanks for allowing me to speak this morning. Thank you.